everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Today is episode number 57 for Wednesday, June 21st, 2023. The sponsor of this show is, of course, TLBTalk.com, the Liberty Beacon Project's newest website. I am your host, Roger Landry, TLB. And my co-host and producer is my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will say hi to in a minute or two. But let me get past this obnoxious preface to my show each week, because I do believe we put out some interesting and vital information. The mission of this show, everybody needs to understand, is to be a mechanism of communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. I've already been asked twice, why do I say that every week? Listen to what I say when I say it. And if you don't think that needs to be repeated every week, I think it should be repeated more often than that. But I only have a show once a week. The show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who has been a personal friend of mine for many years and a good friend, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. I want to talk to you about these platforms. Here he goes again. I want to explain to you that anybody out there that is donating anything to any one of these platforms, you're extremely appreciated. You want to take it to the next step, and I'm not telling you you've got to donate more, although if you can, please do. How do you take it to the next step? You take an average of what you have donated over the course of a month, okay? And what is it? Maybe it's over the course of a year, maybe it's $120 over the course of the year. Divide that number by 12. Gee, that's $10 a month. And the next time you go in to do a donation, we're not asking you to spend any more. Click the button that says make this a monthly donation and put that $10 in there. What you have just done is you have given these platforms some assurity. You have given them the ability to know that each month a certain amount of funds will come in. And with that knowledge, they can get bigger, better, better services and make what you see and hear every week even better. It's not so much giving them more, although I strongly urge all of you to do exactly that. Okay? It's a matter of them having a budget they can count on. And how do you have a budget you can count on? When people check that little box that says, make this a monthly reoccurring donation. You give them a budget they can count on. How are you today, Steve? And as usual, I'll ask you, have I got that wrong?
Yeah, I'm roasting here, but I'm good.
You're roasting?
Yeah.
How hot is it?
I don't know, probably 90, but the humidity is probably about the same too, 90.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you're in what? You're a bit further north than I am. Right here, right now, it's probably about 94, and the humidity is not exactly all that great either because I live right next to a lake, but I live up in the mountains.
Yeah, I'm 30 miles from Lake Michigan also, so I get all that humidity right off the lake.
Oh, yeah. I live in the mountains, and as a matter of fact, my house is probably at about 5,300 feet, so I'm not exactly at sea level, which is why, you know, if the great flood comes again, I'm probably sitting a whole lot better than most people. Okay. Look, we've got a lot to talk about today. There may be something happening in the second half of the show. I don't know if we're going to have time for it, so I'm not going to bring it up. But Steven's in on this with me, and I'm hoping we can do it, but I'm not going to make any promises I can't keep. Again, the information I put out to you is always information that I feel is paramount for you, okay? Some of the information I put out in each or any show is made available via an article I came across while I was posting articles on the Liberty Beacon, our flagship site, or on any one of our other websites, or by doing research or watching videos. Things hit me. This is what I need to talk about. But what hits me even harder is when I have been saying something to my audience over and over again, maybe not in the exact same words, but with the exact same intent, and then someone steps up to say, pretty much the same thing, but in totally different words. Do I like the credence? Yes. Do I like the tending of credibility towards what I have already put out? Yes. But that's not the reason why I take those articles and present them to you. I do that to validate to you that I'm not the only person out there thinking like this. And that there are other people out there that may actually be considered intelligent who have come to the same conclusions using a totally different path. If everybody has to take the same path to have the same conclusion, something's rigged. But if you can come at that and come down a different path, each and every one of us, but have the same facts and end up with the same results, then it's a fact. You can't argue it. Why do I like it when people put out articles that basically, and it's not so much the individual items, because Roger's a big picture guy. I talk to you about shutting the world down. I talk to you about closing governments down around the world. I talk to you about eliminating a large portion of the global population. This isn't little things. These are things on a grand scale. So most of you, when I say the two things that I think the elites have to do to take over this planet each week to you, it's really nice to know that if you dig down deep enough into all of the stuff going on around you, it backs to the hilt exactly what I'm saying. Eliminating the global population isn't a one-man thing. It's a plan that has been in the works for years, and it's global. And the amount of people involved in it would absolutely bend your head. And it's the same thing with the collapse of global governance. Oh, gee, World Economic Forum. Yeah, Klaus, boy, I got to tell you something. He's all for a sovereign America. Yeah. Klaus Schwab. Yeah. What about Soros? He's been trying to destroy America since he became an American citizen. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But he is an elite. Or at least that's what he feels he is. That's what they like to be called. What do I call him? I can't say that on this show. Stephen would probably blank it out anyway. All right. So the article that I'm going to base a lot of the show on today was written by a doctor. And what does he think about what I have to say? We're going to get into that. But let me start this off with the title of today's show, Healthcare and Government, When Trust Dies. Do I say that with emphasis on purpose? You bet your sweet butt I do. Why? Because at some point in our life, each and every person on this planet will require some form, some kind, or some level of healthcare. Every damn one of us. Not only that, but over the course of our lives, what will affect those lives more than even our healthcare? That is our governance. Who is telling us what to do, why, and how? So what are the two things that really affect your life more than anything else, whether it's physically or psychologically? It's healthcare and government. And how does that fit in to what Roger's been discussing? Well, let me start this all off by saying something that will have a significant portion of you already rolling your eyes into the back of your head. And that something is, there are two things an elitist caste need to guarantee global governance. Here it comes. What is global governance? Authoritarian control. Those things happen to be the destruction of local countries, governments, and a vast reduction in global population. I say this every show, and I do it intentionally. Well, how does that fit with healthcare and government? Believe me, it does. There is something, I don't know, there's something in me saying that every week, hoping that you actually start to think about it. This is something you have all heard me say how many times now, and something you will continue to hear as the stark proof unfolds right before your eyes. I don't say things I can't put some, you know, backing to. Every week I give you an article showing you why what I think may very soon be a reality. Okay? All of this is being done while you're being progressively weakened so that even an attempted pushback may be fruitless. If they sicken us enough, if they put us under enough economic, I don't know, squash down, then will we have the time or the wherewithal to even think about coordinating a pushback against any of this? Anybody who thinks that what's going on around you started getting planned 3 or 4 years ago, you're wrong. If you said 100 years ago, if you said 200 years ago, if you're talking about the iteration we're in right now, if you said 20 years ago or maybe even 15, all of these would be really good numbers depending on exactly what portion of this we're discussing. It is. All of this has been happening all around you. But you are looking at the individual issues that are happening around you. My job is to step back and see how this affects the world, how this affects a country, how this affects a community, not how it affects your neighborhood or not how it affects your nightly news tonight. Those will confuse you. Those will overwhelm you. You have to step back and take a look at the big picture. You are all aware that my shows are based on my observations, research, and in many cases, it includes articles. Most of them come from our flagship, which is the Liberty Beacon, but they can come from any of our websites. All right? This article today is special. Whilst in the middle of a search, I came upon an article that hit me square between the eyes. Yeah, think of the 2 points I just laid out again. And ask yourself what / who will control both of these scenarios. Population reduction will be controlled by healthcare. Collapse of sovereignty will be conducted by global deep state governments. So where does healthcare and governments come into the 2 things Roger tells you every single week? We are suffering at an ever increasing level. Okay. So we're going to go through the article that was written by this individual, and it's going to probably open your eyes to a few things. Now, is it the big picture? No, it isn't. Is it more focused down on the actual medical issues and the governance that affects a lot of this? Yes, it is. Who is it written by? It is written by a doctor with almost 50 years of in-field experience. In other words, this is somebody who actually knows what the hell they're talking about. This is somebody who grew up professionally 50 years, who grew up professionally watching the changes happen right in front of his face. Not always agreeing with him, but what can and should you say? I'm not going to put words in this guy's mouth. I am going to pretty much, with a few interjections of my own, for the rest of this first half hour, I'm going to read almost word for word from what this guy published. Why? Because I think it's important that you hear it in that aspect, in that reference, in what he means, what he has to say. After we've gotten through this, on the other side of the break, I may have a surprise for you, and hopefully I will. And what we may be able to do is talk to somebody who has spent a lot of years in the medical system and what has that individual seen changed. But first, we've got to get through this article. So, with a few exceptions, And I always tell you when I'm going to do this, I am going to read straight from Dean Waldman's article. And this is an MD. Okay. The title of his article, and this is why I grabbed it: Trust is Gone from Healthcare and Washington. Oh my God. What was Rogers' title? Healthcare and Government When Trust Dies, which you've all heard me talking about for weeks. So when I see an article titled Trust is Gone from Healthcare in Washington, I read it because somebody's thinking like I am. Or are they? Let's find out. America no longer has faith, nor do Americans have faith in healthcare workers or medical institutions. According to Wisconsin Public Radio, 2022 was the worst year on record for attacks against providers of medical care. In New York City, and they're not talking about physical attacks, okay? The New York City Council recently created an Office of Healthcare Accountability to shine a spotlight on hospitals that charge exorbitant prices and gouge the public. Well, that's something new, especially in New York. Apparently, we trust neither healthcare workers nor medical facilities to put patients first. Let me read what this doctor said again, with 50 years of practice. Apparently, we trust neither healthcare workers nor medical facilities to put patients first. How many times have you heard me say that? I'm not a doctor with 50 years of experience helping people. But he is, and he just said that. This is not a misperception, his words. This is reality. In healthcare, both people and institutions serve a third party, government and or insurance, rather than patients. Let me read that again. In healthcare, both people and institutions, meaning doctors, nurses, administrators, hospital administrators, hospitals. In healthcare, both people and institutions serve a third party, government and or insurance rather than patients. That statement is written with pain, his words, by this physician author who practiced medicine for nearly half a century. Okay, you heard it in his words. That just proves I read the article. Both people and institutions in healthcare want to do right by patients, but they can't. The masters they serve are government bureaucrats and insurance executives, not sick people. It's been a long damn time since hospitals and doctors focused on you and not their bottom line or what they were told to do if they wanted to keep getting their kickbacks. Want to take that further? Your doctor doesn't choose your medication. A pharmacy benefits manager does. You don't choose your doctor. A health plan does. The patient gets the authorized procedure, not necessarily what is judged medically best for that patient. The hospital schedules, effectively delays, your operation based on what the insurance company processes dictate. And patients listen to me, and patients wait interminably for care because of provider shortages created by low federal allowable reimbursement schedules, aka payments for services rendered. All right? The federal government has slowed down reimbursement. So death by Q, dying while waiting in line for care not delivered in time, used to be damn near unheard of in the United States. Today, it has become commonplace. There are many Americans, my words, who die waiting in line to get the care that they should have got, even if they are on government programs. So again, that doctor, that hospital, that clinic does not serve you, the patient. They serve those who cover the bottom line. How much money am I going to get each month will determine how many patients I can actually do, how many or what type of procedures on. And if there are those who are my patients who I know, if they don't get this procedure, may not live another month, but the insurance won't pay for it for another 6 weeks. I'm just trying to get this simple enough so you people can understand it. Not that you're stupid. But how many of you would believe that people are intentionally being let die because of the inconvenience of insurance or government payments? And when a doctor, remember, a doctor with 50 years of experience wrote this, tells you this, it's not bullcrap. But how many of you knew that? Third party. Third-party payers disconnect patient or buyer in market terms from the provider or the seller. The third party tells the buyer what the third party will buy from him. Yes, I'm going to buy this from you for your patient. The buyer doesn't choose. The third party does. The guy making the money. The third party tells sellers, which is the doctor, what they're allowed to sell and what payment they will receive regardless of the published price. How many times have you guys, and this is me, heard me say the term big pharma? How many of you actually know that the most powerful entities, when we're talking about individual industries on the planet, is big pharma? How many of you know that Big Pharma controls more politicians on this planet than any other industry by a long shot? How many of you know all this? Drug companies pretty much run your country and a lot of the world. Yeah. Patients in aggregate, the public rightly do not trust healthcare workers or facilities because they don't work for the patients. This has been happening for at least a decade. It went into overdrive 3 years ago. I've been talking about it for at least a decade. Most people pushed back against me saying I was drunk. I was stoned. There's no way this is going on. I trust my doctor. What the hell are you saying now? Because what I just said to you didn't come from me. And this doctor, I know for a fact, because of all the doctors he worked with, could back this up in a heartbeat. The medical industry today is the biggest prey or preyer upon society that we know of. And if you take all of the unnecessary deaths caused by the COVID scandemic, you have taken the medical industry over the edge of a cliff. I don't know how the hell they are ever going to regain the level of trust they had when I was a kid, when doctors were the next thing below God. This loss of trust is not isolated to healthcare, though. Everybody needs to know this, okay? And this doctor will take it to that level, okay? It is equally true of previously trustworthy great federal institutions such as the CDC, the NIH, the CMS, the FBI, the DOJ, the EPA. This is the doctor speaking, as well as most news outlets and social media. This is the doctor speaking. Every day there are reports of partisan censorship and cancer culture. Americans understand that political advantage rather than public welfare drives decisions at the highest levels of government, both elected and especially appointed officials, along with complicit media corporations. That's one paragraph, people. And he managed to allude to just about everything I talk about every single week. Yeah. The COVID debacle is a prime example of loss of trust in healthcare. Americans trusted Fauci. God, I hate even saying that. The CDC, the NIH, and the FDA to protect us, only to learn they pushed a false narrative, suppressed contrary scientific data, mandated lockdowns, school closures, social isolation, and untested vaccines. Policies that irreparably harmed the public. But here's the kicker, people. The public all across the planet. Not just America. It wasn't just a bad flu season in America. It was a bad flu season globally. And when a doctor says what I just read and finishes it off with policies that irreparably harmed the public, then you know what I've been barking at you for the last, I don't know how many months, has at least a little bit of credibility to it. Just a little bit. Okay? Yeah. I'm going to go through just a little bit more, and we may have to finish the rest of this on the other side of the break, but do I feel it's worth it? This is probably one of the best written articles I've read in a while, because this guy actually stepped back far enough to see how this was affecting all of us. So I will go on with his article. Ex-President Trump has been indicted for mishandling classified documents. Where is similar prosecution for President Biden's similar behavior? And where was prosecution of Hillary Clinton for putting uncounted classified documents in her private email server and then hiding them from scrutiny? Numerous Americans were convicted of illegally occupying Congress on January 6, 2021. Where were prosecutions, much less convictions, when protesters, liberal protesters, established the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, CHAZ, took over federal buildings, and demanded elimination of police and court systems? This is the doctor's finishing statement on that paragraph. Is this not by definition sedition, as claimed for the January 6th protesters? In other words, a lot worse things happened, a lot worse laws were broken, but they got absolutely nothing. Most of the people from January 6th that are still in jail or prison, all they did was a walkthrough, take a few selfies, point at things and laugh with their friends. That's what we're looking at. And when a doctor with 50 years of experience steps back, looks at all of this and says, well, let's go back to what he originally said. Trust is gone from healthcare and Washington. And how did I open it up? Healthcare and government when trust dies. All right, we're going to go to break. Steve, you want to take us to break? And on the way back, I will try to finish this up because I would like to bring a special guest in.
Okay. Be right back in 1 minute, folks.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So again, let's go back to this doctor's closing statement on the last paragraph. Is this not by definition sedition, as was claimed for the January 6th protesters? When Americans see unequal application of the law, they lose faith in the Department of Justice, supposedly the defender of the rule of law. Now, we've just showed everybody why they've lost faith in, like, the CDC, the FBI, the NIH, and now we're showing this same doctor is showing why he believes Americans are losing the same amount of faith, maybe even more, in their own governance. Gee, you've got to control the health so that you can eliminate a large portion of the society, and you've got to control the governance so you can cause it to collapse and bring in world governance. Yeah. Okay. For more than 2 years, from 2021 to 2023, front pages were dominated by the investigation into alleged collusion between Trump campaign and Russia. Representative Adam Schiff repeatedly announced, "I have the evidence." James Comey and the FBI director obtained FISA court permission to spy on Americans. We now know that Comey lied to the FISA courts when obtaining the warrants. Where is there any consequence for his or his agency's malfeasance? When Americans see weaponization and partisan manipulation of what should be our premier truth-seeking, supposedly objective, investigative body, they lose faith in the FBI. Mainstream media, both news and social, I don't know. Yeah, I would say both news, mainstream media news and social media aggressively push the charge of systemic racism. No matter how many times you hear it, try to dig in and go back far enough to find out where that title was put on, where that tag was slapped on. Okay. So again, mainstream media, both just the news and the social, aggressively push the charge of systemic racism. Whites prejudiced against and oppressing blacks. How then to explain YouTube canceling the channel of prominent black female commentator Candace Owens? Yeah, they did that, didn't they? The amendment that protects free speech was placed first in the Bill of Rights because it was considered the most important. The First Amendment doesn't protect acceptable speech. It is intended to stop government from abridging the freedom of speech. Yeah. When speech is labeled unorthodox, is canceled, when the rule of law is abrogated, when our communications with each other are filtered, and when Washington takes away freedom, starting with medical autonomy, no wonder Americans lose faith that Washington is basing its behavior on the most fundamental fundamental principle of our nation, freedom. Now, I want you to stop and think about what I just read. Okay, and I read that almost word for word. Of course, you knew when Rogers threw in his little 2 cents every now and then. I read that almost word for word. But what I found in that article, which is only about 1,200 words, is that this guy has this, I wouldn't say exactly the same, but he has familiar and similar, okay, feelings about not only what's going on in the healthcare system, but what's going on in the political system. And what he really only barely alluded to, but everybody needs to be aware of, is the political strength of Big Pharma. It's massive. Who owns more of your congressmen and senators than any other entity on the planet? Big Pharma. How many other countries can I say the same thing about? Quite a few. Okay. When you push a vaccine, and it's not just in one country, but when you get every government across the planet to fold to a pretty much mandatory vaccine with very few exceptions globally, how much power does Big Pharma have? So what we are looking at is a doctor who is saying healthcare has become a danger to us. We no longer trust our healthcare. What the doctor is also saying is the system that is supposed to rule over us, that's what they feel. The system that is supposed to actually do what we ask them to do. The democratic system in a constitutional republic that is run by we the people. This doctor looks at it and says, that ain't happening. But he ties it all together in the medical field, and I'm glad he did. Because next week, I think I've already found one to talk more about the government's place in this and less about the medical position. But since there's two things the elites need, and one's medical and one's political, we've just covered one. Next week, I'm going to try like hell to cover the other one. But I've got something special for you. Okay? We talk about, and this doctor talked about healthcare. He talked about the changes in healthcare. He talked about the lack of trust in your doctors, your nurses, so on and so forth. He talked about the lack of trust in your facilities, your hospitals, your clinics, so on and so forth. He talked about seeing this over approximately a half a century, which is what I've been saying over and over again for years. But what he can't do is come on this show and tell you exactly what he has seen, what he has experienced, and what it means to him. But I am about to invite in a special guest who has been associated with the healthcare system in this country for quite a while, and who is probably much more intelligent than most of the idiots who work for the government. And will be able to tell you what he has seen and experienced in the last couple of years. So without further ado, Stephen, want to come into the conversation?
Yeah. Who's the special guest?
Tell everybody how you're qualified for this spot first, and then we'll go into it, please.
Well, I was wondering how I would be the special guest, but...
I just said that so I could keep leading them on all the way up until I said, come on in, Stephen.
Oh, I see. Okay. What specific questions are you wanting to know?
Well, the first thing I'd like everybody to understand is why you have, when I say you have been in the medical or the healthcare grasp for many years, let them know as much as you would wish them to know as to why. How have you been in the system?
How have I? Well, my first major reason I was into the healthcare system was I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis in 1992. But I've had two doctors say that I may have been vaccine injured, going back to like 1976, the big vaccine push they had back then. Yep. And also in 1982 when I went into the Army boot camp.
Yeah.
And I...
That's a lot of vaccines there, yeah.
Yes, quite a few.
Yeah.
Anyways, I was in a car accident in 1985. And I began to feel, changes into my body because I was into heavy weightlifting, not so much bodybuilding, but just powerlifting. That was that craze back in the 70s and 80s, as everybody might remember.
I do.
I was into that. And after the accident, I'm pretty sure I had whiplash, but I didn't even know it. 6 months after the accident, I couldn't lift anymore because my shoulders would collapse, my elbows would collapse, and my knees.
Ow.
Yeah, I just couldn't lift anymore. And subsequently, about 7 years later is when I got hit with rheumatoid.
Yeah, I can see that. With everything else, yeah. So how long, if you had to guess, how long have you been, and I would say on almost a continuous basis, associated with the healthcare program?
Well,
15 years?
No.
10 years?
31.
31 years?
Yeah, I've got about, well, okay. I've had about 18 doctors in the past, 13 operations because of the rheumatoid and also diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Okay, so you didn't tell us about that. Okay, and it just keeps adding up.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Oh my. All right, look, you have been in the system for a while. That is obvious, okay? Just like this guy was a doctor for 50-something years. It wasn't somebody who became a doctor 6 months ago writing this. It's somebody who spent a lot of years within the healthcare system. Have you seen major changes in the last couple of months? Because first, let me qualify that. This doctor talks about the fact that people who used to be able to get treatments up to and including what was required to keep them alive – we're now sometimes waiting in the line so long that they died before they actually got the treatment. And whereas 20, 30 years ago, that was unheard of in this country, it's almost commonplace today. What are you seeing as far as the fall off of the credibility of the healthcare provided in this country?
Well, I've seen a blowback from one specific doctor, my cardiologist.
Okay.
He's a replacement cardiologist because mine, for many, many years, decided to retire.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that. I don't, I haven't seen him in 3 years, but I don't really know what the particulars are, why he retired, but... Yeah. He wasn't a young man anymore. He was in his 60s when he retired. So
that's probably why.
Yeah.
Okay. But so what about this replacement?
Well, I didn't go in to see him last year because I wasn't going to wear a mask. And he decided he would summarily reprimand me for not coming in last year because I didn't want to wear a mask. And I had to bite my tongue, keep from busting his head wide open. Or giving
you, and I'm going to butt in here because you just said something perfect, and you know you did. You are looking at a doctor who is chastising you with a lie he absolutely knows is a lie. And yeah. I'm going to give everybody a quick rundown on this again. What we just heard from Steve is he wouldn't wear a mask, so they wouldn't let him into the facility, except they know for a fact that these masks are not effective in stopping a virus. That's not even what they're intended for, and they were never intended to be worn for an extended period of time. Dropping let's say there is really such thing as a, I don't know, coronavirus. Grab one of them, drop it on a mask. By the time it gets down to the mask level and falls through one of the mask pores, it could be, I don't know, equated to a BB dropping through a hula hoop. They don't work. They never work. It was a lie. And it did more damage to people than anything else. And Steve, I'm very proud of the fact you wouldn't wear a mask.
Two reasons I didn't give him hell right back was because he is a foreigner. I think he's somewhere from Africa. And the second reason is I know in the back of my head that there are millions and millions of educated fools. So that's why I didn't give him hell.
Educated fools. Oh, I like that. That's a real nice grouping of words there.
Yeah, okay. It is.
Anyway, so you What I'd like to know is not just one person. What I'd like to know is what you're seeing. Okay, what do you see in the medical system in the United States? Let's leave the political system aside for right now. But again, you got to do two things for total global governance. One of them is you have to seriously reduce the global population. Part of the way you do that is destroying any faith in the medical system whatsoever. Do you see enough changing in the medical system that you've been a part of for so many years? Is it becoming obvious?
You know, that's really hard to say.
Yes, it is.
I can't say yes at this point. I think that there's just too many. Well, like I'll go back to the same phrase, educated fools, educated idiots. I mean, they seriously don't know about medicine anymore. The only thing they get taught to do is how to prescribe medications.
And they don't even get to prescribe them. If you listen to what the doctor says, the medications that are prescribed by the third party or Big Pharma. It's not prescribed by the doctors. The doctors are given options of what can be used for certain things, and when that certain thing comes in, then it is the third party that tells the doctor what that doctor is going to give his patient or her patient. This is insanity.
Well, there used to be a time in medicine where the doctor had the end say-all of what happened to a patient.
I agree. I totally agree.
Whether a patient could get prescribed some homeopathic medication or something alternative, but they took that away from the doctors decades ago.
Oh yeah, and it has to be all pharmaceutical.
The bottom line is yes, all pharmaceutical.
But I want your reaction to this, because you've heard me say this before, and I would like people to understand exactly what you think of it, okay? Let's put these doctors into perspective. We're saying that doctors today, okay, care more about the big pharma companies and what the government have to say than the health of their patients, all right? This is, to me, it's not a joke. It's a fact. So let's run a scenario, all right? And you've all heard me say this. I just want to hear what Steve has to say. I walk into my doctor's office, okay, pediatrician. I've got my 4-year-old grandson. I walk in, I sit down, I put my grandson on my knee. Doctor walks up to me and he says, "Hello, Mr. Landry. How are you today?" "I'm fine. What can I do for you?" And I say, "Well, my grandson here needs to have one of them COVID shots before he can go into preschool. But before he gets the shot, is there anything I should know? Are there any dangers? Anything I should know that before this shot is given to my child?" This is where I'm going with this, Steve, because in far too many cases today, and many of you out there have actually heard this, that doctor will look at you and say, "Nope, it's safe and effective. It'll do exactly what it needs to do. Let's give it to him." At that point, I pick my grandson up, I walk the hell out of that office, and I never go back to see that doctor again. There are 1,200 plus either extremely dangerous or deadly side effects, including myocarditis and a list of things that are attacking juveniles, young kids, infants in these vaccines. But yet this doctor is incentivized to the point where he's going to look me right in the eye and tell me, "Not safe and effective. It'll work. Let's get her done." At that point, I no longer trust this doctor. How many people out there do you think are going along that same thought process, Steve?
I'm sure there are some. You know, I couldn't.
But not enough.
No,
I agree.
Not enough. I wouldn't want to speculate on what the number might be, but I'm sure there are people. There are.
Oh, yeah. There are people like you and me. So, yeah, there
yeah.
are people out there.
That's right.
That.
That's yep. right.
Yep. And I think more people should. If we don't call these doctors, if we don't call these administrators, if we don't call these nurses to task, then what we'll establish going forward is this will be your healthcare system. Like it or not, It's what you got. If you don't push back against it, if you don't hold people accountable, if you don't step up to say, I'm not going to be part of the two things you need for global governance, it isn't going to happen. And you ain't messing with my kids. Until you step up to say that, things ain't looking good. Steve, are things looking good around us right now? Or is it just me?
Well, the birds are tweeting outside there, Roger, and the sun is shining. Oh, happy summer solstice, longest day of the summer.
Absolutely. Yep, and we've just had Father's Day. We're going on the 4th of July. Oh, and the 4th of July just happens to be the first anniversary of TLB Talk.
Yeah.
And we will probably be doing a show about TLB Talk very soon. And not just about the platform, but why it's there, what it's there for, and why people need to have a safe space where they can go to say the things they need to say. Listen to me. Anybody who says, if I say that, I'm going to get in trouble, so I'm just not going to say it.
And,
Well,
I just want to say that.
Go ahead.
Andy said it's raining there in Florida, but it rains like clockwork down there in Florida. So.
Look, I totally dropped the football.
Uh-oh.
Look, as far as this whole thing goes, everything we've discussed today all leads back to two things, okay? Governance and healthcare. Stephen, would you say that these are the two biggest, factors in most people's lives, what the government can and can't make them do, or what they can and can't get from a healthcare system to either keep them alive or make them live long? I don't know. Wouldn't you say these are the two biggest influences on everybody's life?
Well, I think that's possible, but I think there's going to have to be some sort of a change. Maybe maybe private doctors need to make a resurgence.
Yes. I totally agree. And I think it even goes beyond that. I think what we need to understand is that when you go in and your doctor says to you, it's safe and effective, give it to your child, is that a crime? If I give my doctor the credit of him knowing what he's talking about, and I get my child to have, or my grandson to have these shots, and my grandson dies of myocarditis, is that doctor responsible? Because he knew damn right well how many side effects there were, and he knew everything he needed to know about myocarditis. But he lied to you, and your grandson is dead. Should he be in prison for life? This is what we're living with today, Steve. We have doctors today. Used to be, how many lives did you save as a doctor? Today, how do I think of it? How many people have you killed as a doctor?
Yeah, well, that's actually the number two death cause in America is,
I know,
death by Medicare, death by medical establishment.
I was about to say that. You just robbed that, right? You just took it right out of my mouth.
Stole your thunder, huh?
No. You're the co-host here.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting you to talk. Everybody's probably happy. Oh, God. Steve can talk. Roger can shut up for a while. Look, this is about a medical system that is failing. This is about governance that is failing. Let me ask y'all a question. When disasters happen, how many times do they happen in unison that appear to be choreographed and everything happening simultaneously with one end in sight, the collapse of a nation? When you see the fact that we're heading into, listen to me, people, I don't feed crap. Unless something serious is done, we are headed into a depression that will make any depression the globe has seen to date look like a walk in the park. We've already got economists screaming this. We've already got doctors screaming at us that we're about to get hit with another pandemic that's going to make the last one seem like a joke. So instead of going out to get a COVID-19 vaccine that has killed how many people and will eventually kill hundreds of millions more, no. They're not going to do that. They're going to give you a brand new one.
Yeah, they're going to call it something different.
Yep. And how many people will die from that?
MERS or SPARS or whatever the scam's going to be.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know what? I've got this feeling somewhere in the future, probably around 2028. they're going to introduce another scam the next 3 or 4 years or whatever, and less and less people will believe them and have any faith in them. And come 2028, they will release something real.
I don't know if they're gonna wait till 2028 to release something.
Well, Social Security is due to
in 28. Yeah. I know, but you also have to understand that the United States has laboratories that are illegal in the United States, spread across the planet, where gain of function research is being done for all kinds of extremely deadly viral.
Yeah. 10 years ago, yeah. Or 12 years ago, a dozen years ago, I think it was like 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, Alex Jones reported that the University of Texas in Austin was working on a mousepox virus that was effective of killing 97% of what it came in contact with.
Yeah, and let me see. I know there's at least one lab, U.S. lab, in Wuhan, China. I know there's at least funded by the U.S. I know there was at least four of them in the Ukraine. I know that, look, we can go on. The point here is, if you make it illegal in America, and the elites want something done, all they do is get American money to fund it somewhere else.
NGO
it
money.
It doesn't stop.
Goes to NGOs. Stop. Yep.
Yes. Yes. Well, non-governmental organizations. Absolutely. Which to me is one of the biggest lies out there, because what do? They catch all the crap that the government can't catch. But they're called non-governmental organizations. But most of them are there specifically to support a crooked government.
Yep. Any so-called government agency, whether it's, you know, the CIA, FBI, or whatever the case is, State Department or Pentagon, it doesn't really matter. If they find something effective, they never get rid of it. They just change its name and move it to a different building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I know, because guess who worked for this government for 30 years. Gee. Yeah, and I'm still doing the penance. So anybody out there asking, yes, Roger is doing his penance. What's his penance? It's called the Liberty Beacon Project. And it's called doing shows with Steve. That was a joke, Steve.
I know it.
Okay, all right. Steve is actually probably, I don't know, by far the best co-host I've ever had, simply because I usually don't have a co-host. Last words from you, my friend, and then I'll do a quick wrap-up.
Last words.
yeah, show-related.
Well, okay. sort of show-related to a different show. Monday, Lucas' show, Learn to Unlearn. That's a great title. I like his title. And people do have to try to unlearn what they've learned.
Luca is the media technical director for the Liberty Beacon Project. He's a personal friend, and he has been a close friend of mine for at least 10 years. Do I know Luca? I know Luca extremely well, and I'm the one who publishes all of his shows every week on the Liberty Beacon and our websites. So Luca is a very good friend, and yes, I agree with you. Listen to Learn to Unlearn with Luca Magno. It is worth the listen. Okay, so the last thing you wanted to say was about somebody else's show. Okay, but he's a good friend of mine, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, and everybody listening, next week we're going to talk more about the government's role in the destruction of our governance, which is all part of a global plan. This week we focused a little bit more on the side of healthcare. Next week we open a can of worms on the government. Thank you, Stephen. It's always great doing a show with you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you again next week.
Okay. Till next week, folks.